Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Growing in Grace, the podcast. I'm Joel Breezeke, the Breeze Man, with Mike Kapler, the Cap. And we are getting ready to talk about the grace of God and His love. And so many good things. We're so thankful that you've tuned in this week.
What are you, Mr. Rogers or something here?
I don't know what I'm trying to do. I don't know. I have no clue.
You must love your neighbor. You must love the Lord your God.
I forgot to change into my house shoes and my house sweater. My wife does that when she comes. When I come home, I take off my shoes. And I do not like wearing shoes around the house. She comes home, she takes off her work shoes, and she puts on, it's like some tennis shoes for being around the house. Mm. And it's just a difference that we have. But you know what? We're all different, and it's okay.
It's amazing how you guys stay together through all that.
Yeah, with all the shoe differences that we have.
Hey, we're going to talk about some things that Paul wrote to Timothy, but I got to mention a couple things before we get serious about it. And we can talk about this, but he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, preach the word. We'll get to that. And he says, be ready in season and out of season. But then later in the chapter, before he finishes this, he says, do your best to come before winter. So
that's a refrigerator verse if there ever was one.
I guess maybe he felt like Timothy wasn't going to be ready in season and out of season.
Maybe he was writing to me. This, see, it's all the word of God, and God knows what he's doing. He's telling me that in the winter I need to put on some shoes. I need to be ready in season and out of season in order to take the garbage out. You know? I need to apply this to my heart, and that's what I'm receiving right now. Don't make fun of me.
I'm just saying, since I came into this whole grace thing, we don't even have garbage anymore.
No garbage. No, no, but that's funny. I mean, it's all the inspired word of God, and so let's make that one a memory verse. Please come before the winter. Make sure you got that one in your heart.
When I was a kid, I had those. They were like index cards, but they were even bigger because I bought them at the store. You know, they were just like one verse or whatever on a card. You were supposed to memorize those things. So here's another one. Here's another one for you, Joel. Also in the same chapter here in 2 Timothy 4, he says this: Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds.
Whoa, Paul.
So Paul, keep that now in mind. Keep that one in mind. And then what does Paul say a little bit later? The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. So,
but he's going to get the coppersmith.
you got to watch him every time.
Yep. Yeah. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Those coppersmiths,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They don't like grace.
No. Never have. We're maybe, assuming.
But yeah, good news is what we're here about. You know, under the law, the people tried and they tried and they tried. And as much as they tried, they fell short. Nobody ever could do it. The end of Romans 9 says that the people of Israel were pursuing righteousness by the law. And they never found righteousness. They never attained to it. And yet Gentiles who didn't even have the law, they weren't pursuing righteousness. They weren't even looking for it. They attained to it. Why? Because they found it and received it by faith, not by anything that they did. And yet, in those days, in those early years of the church, you know, when Paul was writing all his letters and stuff like that, and a lot of his letters were actually many years into this, and there were still some people who were desiring to be teachers of the law, and they didn't have a clue what they were talking about. And so we've got some of these words. You were talking about Timothy. We had this idea, and we've done a podcast on this before. It's been a few years, about itching ears. and we're getting somewhere with this, but people will say that those grace people, those hyper-grace people, they're just teaching that greasy grace, that cheap grace, to people with itching ears who just want to hear what they want to hear and just go out and do whatever they want to do. And that's what they're just preaching, this itching ears stuff. And Paul did say something about that, about itching ears. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Paul says to Timothy in his second letter to Timothy, at least the second one that we know about, you know, we don't have access to all the epistles that Paul wrote, all the letters that he wrote. So, but this is the one that's officially known as 2 Timothy. In the fourth chapter, he says, he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They will not endure sound teaching. What does that mean? But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So what is the truth and what is the myths that he's talking about? And who are these teachers? We'll talk a little bit about that this week.
Well, and what is the word?
The
preach.
Word. Yes,
the
yes.
Word. Oh, they really preach the word over at that church. Well, Paul isn't talking about the Bible here. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before when he was writing to Timothy. Timothy didn't have a Bible sitting on a shelf, you know, waiting for the Sunday sermon to be given. It was the word of faith Paul talked about in Romans 10. The word of faith. This was something that was spoken and is within our hearts, not just some sort of printed publication. But to get to where you were heading here, people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth, wander off into myths. Some say wander off into fables. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So this is what Joel was just covering here was coming toward the end of Paul's second letter, we're assuming, second letter to Timothy. The first letter opens up with this. He's talking to Timothy here. I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other teaching or no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables. And there's that word again, fables, or myths, whichever word you want to use. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, meaningless conversation, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So these myths and fables that the legalists want to accuse and apply to grace people, it was actually what Paul was cautioning Timothy about was people who were not diving into too much grace, you know. It wasn't that. It was diving back into law-based mentalities, going back and trying to become a doer of a work that could not bring them the redemption that they were seeking or the righteousness that they were seeking. So there's a tie-in here with how Paul opens up his first letter to Timothy and how he closes it in the second letter, knowing that there are people out there who are not teaching what is sound. They're going back to covering something that they know very little about, desiring to be teachers of the law. A law, by the way, for those who are new listeners, a law under that old covenant, that Mosaic covenant, that could not bring life, it could not bring righteousness, as you pointed out, Joel, the Jews that were pursuing that law, trying to do those works, all of those stone tablet commandments, not just the 10, but the other 600 plus, it couldn't take them to where they wanted to go. Paul called it a ministry, that old that old covenant stone tablet ministry was a ministry of death and condemnation, and it was replaced with something new and better. Yes, a better covenant, but more specifically, the ministry of God's Spirit. That's what we live in now. And so it's just interesting, I think, Joel, how the connection here between Paul talking to Timothy, and like I mentioned to you before we started recording, we really have no idea. None of us have any idea the kind of relationship and conversation that Paul and Timothy had in their own time. All we're seeing is just these little, you know, little snippets in these letters and trying to piece the puzzle, put the pieces of the puzzle together, which nobody can do perfectly. But, you know, you just take some of these nuggets and put them together properly under the right mindset of the new covenant. And then you won't have people accusing grace folks of being hyper and being out of balance. You need a balance between law and grace. Well, you don't need a balance between law and grace, because if you're under grace, there is no law. And if you're in the ministry of the Spirit and walking with Him, it's apart from the law. And so I yield my time.
Well,
and, Senator.
Well, I you make a really good point about Paul's letters. Just imagine anyone listening here. Imagine you wrote a letter to somebody, and then maybe a while later you wrote another letter to them. So you've got first Jane, and you got second Jane. You know, for someone named Jane out there who wrote two letters. But in between, you got all this context, you got a relationship, you've got things that nobody else knows about, and then they get their hands on those two letters, and they think that's everything that is supposed to ever be said. You know, that's the entirety of, you know, that relationship. But it's not, of course. And so there's a lot of context that we don't see. And just to go on a slight, tiny little tangent, you know, like when Paul writes about, I do not permit a woman to teach, there's context there that has absolutely, we don't see it in his epistles, but it has to do with the times, and it has to do with that particular group of people and their worship, the way that they had women, the Gentile women in that culture had come out of a thing where the women were in charge, the women were dominant, and Paul was answering a question, and he was answering the circumstances that had gone on there, and it wasn't an all-time teaching or an all-time saying that women cannot teach men. There's more to be said about that. I encourage people, and I need to do this more often, but I encourage people to listen to the Unsunday Show podcast with Mike Adams. He talks a lot about things like this. Really good stuff from Mike. So it's the Unsunday Show. You can find that, search for the website, and you can also find him on podcasting apps and things like that. Talks a lot about that stuff. But when it comes to Paul writing so many things here, there's a lot of context that we miss out on, such as what he's saying to Timothy here in 2 Timothy. We can go back, like you just did, to 1 Timothy and find out some of the things that he's talking about. And you mentioned the word of faith, and I know that stokes some people, because to them it's name it, claim it, frame it. You know, that's the word of faith. It's like having faith for things and just believe in God and all kinds of things that go along with that. But of course, the word of faith, which we preach in Romans 10, Paul is saying, here's the word of faith, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the word that is being preached. That's the word. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It's the gospel that he's talking about here. That's the word. Preach the word. And so many people, indeed, not having a good understanding of the gospel, wanted to go to a law mindset, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things of which they make confident assertions. That's 1 Timothy, you know, going back to some of the things that Paul said there to Timothy. That's what the itching ears were all about. It wasn't about going out and just doing whatever you want. I want to hear a preacher that's going to preach to me that you can go do whatever you want. That's not what Paul was talking about. And that's not what the itching ears were. It's people who wanted to hear, this is what I need to do. These are the rules. Tell me what to do. Yeah, right. These are the rules that I need to follow. Help me to, you know, give me some rules, give me some things that I need to do. But even if you look at something else Paul wrote to the Colossians, Colossians 2, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They appear to be wise. They have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So it's the things that help us in our daily living is not rules and regulations, not all these rules and regulations that either man comes up with, like Paul's talking about in Colossians 2, nor the law. Because like you were saying, the law of Moses was a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation, and sin increased with the law. So if people want to be teachers of the law and they want to subject themselves to teachers of the law, it's not going to help. It's going to do exactly the opposite of what a person might think that it will do. And so let's not subject ourselves. Let's not get our itching ears over to people who can tell me what to do. This preacher, like you said, a preacher, oh man, they really preach the word. Well, in a lot of people's minds, I left that service knowing I got to do this, I got to do that. Oh man, I was really convicted. And then they go out into the world having heard that word. And they'll find that it only leads to the flesh, you know, trying to live according to the flesh, trying to avoid, you know, trying to not be indulged by the things of the flesh, by the flesh itself. And it that just doesn't work. So it's grace. Grace is not greasy. You know, hyper grace, you know, where sin abounded, grace hyper-abounded, grace super-abounded. That's really where that word comes from. And it's the grace of God that teaches us to avoid ungodliness and to live right. And so it's not as if you can have too much grace and then you'll just slip into, you know, you'll backslide like we were talking about a week or two ago and all this stuff. But we need God's grace, and that is sound doctrine. That is what the sound doctrine is all about.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.